Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Kim Let's Give It a Spin Hultman, a professional gambler who makes a lot of money by losing his slot machines. This is not a usual way to make money, but it works very well for him, as you shall hear. Kim Hultman, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. It's good being here.
All right. Before we talk more to Kim, Richard, you had some words for our listeners about Spotify or something.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we are now on Spotify, if that is a service you use, and I didn't realize that Spotify was a place where a lot of people listen to podcasts, and once I found that out, I did get us added on there. But I just wanted to say to the audience, if there are other places that you normally get podcasts and we are not there and you would like to see us there, let me know and I will make every effort to get us there. So you can always reach us at gamblingwithanedge at gmail.com, or you can find me on Twitter at rwm21 or the Facebook page. So yeah, or just let us know and I'll try to get us anywhere we aren't.
Very good. All right, Kim, please,
yes, I'm here.
Please explain in general terms just what it is that you do to make money gambling.
Basically, I've been gambling my entire life since since I was 18 and was allowed to. I started with poker, and then after a while, when I got tired of poker, it's kind of the same thing all the time. You get dealt two cards and make a move, and then either win or lose. I started studying, and I looked into other ways of making money while studying. So when I started studying, I played slot machines with deposit bonuses, which is a huge positive expected value if you know how to play it. So me and a friend basically played a lot, and he ran good. He was lucky, I was unlucky, and then eventually I won roughly $10,000 on a huge rush. And my friend, I jumped around and I was all over the place celebrating. And my friend said, "Kim, you should really stream this." And I was like, "Can you play casino on Twitch and YouTube?" He said, "Yeah, people are doing it. You should try." And yeah, here we are, four years later, almost.
I was going to ask. So you started streaming, you said, 3 years ago?
Three and a half.
And was that really, like, I did not become aware of streaming that, actually, why don't you describe for our audience what streaming is?
Well, basically, you have a camera in your face and you play slot machines, in my case, or any other video game for that matter, while people interact. So you have the camera in your face and you mirror your screen so they see your screen. And yeah, people grew really fond of it. It grew very, very quick, very fast. Very big, very fast.
Yeah, I have to say, when I first heard about this, it did not compute at all. I was asking, why would anybody want to watch somebody else play slot machines or gamble at anything for that matter? Because it seems like pretty boring if you're not the one doing the gambling. But so how many average viewers do you have when you're doing this?
Between 1,500 and 3,000 any given moment.
And
I have around 1 million views on YouTube every month. Twitch don't disclose, they only disclose live views. But every time I have streamed, I upload highlights on YouTube from streams or from big wins or from what happened.
So when you are actually playing, you are live on Twitch, and then you edit that and put it up on YouTube as well.
No, right now I'm streaming from both platforms, but then on top of streaming live on YouTube, I highlight clips as well.
Okay, so So do you have like two cameras, one that's going to Twitch and one that's going to YouTube?
No, you can use Restream services. You stream the exact same picture to both Twitch and YouTube.
I see. And YouTube,
it is the reasoning is the reasoning is to reach a wider audience. Twitch is more long time viewers who just sit and watch for basically an entire stream, which could be up to 4 hours long. And YouTube is more, they go in, watch a bit, and then go out.
Huh.
So yeah, in the beginning when I started streaming, I didn't. So basically, what sustains it nowadays is the affiliation. But when I started streaming, I wasn't aware of affiliation, which is kind of strange because I had rake back myself on poker sites. But yeah, the casinos basically let you play with an edge with the deposit bonuses, and then for a bigger streamer, the affiliation will be a big part of the income as well.
A big part of what makes this interesting is the personality of the person doing the streaming. Did you have any kind of performance background, or that's just you?
That's just me. That's just me. I'm not, no, nothing is scripted or anything. Sometimes we do plan things, but nothing is scripted. Everything happens in real time, and it's just me sitting there playing slots, interacting with the viewers.
And they can talk to you while you play?
Yeah. They can say, Kim, this machine sucks. Go to another one. And what's good with European slot machines, mostly, nothing towards the US, but the RTP is very high, the return to players. So the basically range, I almost only play 96% or higher return to player machines.
So the slots that you're playing are better than the people who are playing American roulette.
Oh yeah. The American roulette is a 5.3% house edge, while the European is a 2.7. So you should try to find the European roulette wheels when you play roulette.
We now have triple zero roulette here in Las Vegas. So
yeah, super zero.
It sounds like there are three different revenue streams. One is the advertising that is on Twitch and YouTube, right? Because people are seeing ads while they're watching you. Is that right?
Yeah. That's a small part of the income.
Okay. And then there is affiliate links for the casinos that you're playing at. The people who are watching can click through to those casinos, and you get revenue from that as well.
Correct.
And then the third is bonuses, so that every time you play, you're getting a bonus from the casino?
Yeah, well, I did before Sweden regulated gambling at the end of the year. So I did before I got deposit bonuses that had to be wagered a certain amount of times before you can cash it out. So if I deposited, let's say, $500, I got $500 for a casino, but before I could cash it out, it had to be wagered a certain amount of times.
Right. So
nowadays, as I'm a quite big streamer, I don't really need the deposit bonuses. I'll just lose more money. But I've been lucky this year, and you get occasional cash drops from the casinos. They just give you cash because we're not allowed to have deposit bonuses in Sweden anymore. So if they give you something, it has to be cash.
Okay, my understanding was that a lot of the people are moving out of Sweden because of that law.
Exactly. That's correct, because as a smaller streamer, even at low stakes, let's say 50 cent a spin, you're going to be losing quite a bit every stream if you don't have a deposit bonus.
And so correct. Have you moved?
No, I'm looking to move potentially soon. But we have a lot of other projects going. So I should have moved in February. Now it's looking to be maybe June.
And where are you thinking about going?
Malta, probably, most likely Malta.
Uh-huh.
Because the community we run, so basically me and a few other streamers, because there's a lot of fake money going around on Twitch and YouTube, unfortunately. It's sad to see, but people playing $10,000 per hand on blackjack and doing it all the time, and $100 per spin and things like that. So we wanted to create a community with people who love gambling and that always played with real money that they can withdraw.
Wait, how are they playing with fake money? How's that work?
The casino, well, there's a lot of setups for this. But the casino, most commonly, the casino just adds $100,000 to an account where the money cannot be withdrawn.
So you always have bankroll, but it doesn't do you any good.
Exactly.
So are those people just paid a salary by the casino? Is that how that works?
Well, they're only doing it for the affiliation part, or in some cases, they have a salary from the casinos as well, which is, I consider it being false marketing. You're not taking any risk. I'm very much against that. So
and
that's
how,
what creates
the viewers have a way of knowing who's real and who isn't?
No, because they will say they are. It's real money. And there is, they sometimes do slip ups, but then they talk it away. And what we try to do, we try not to focus on it too much, because it is quite obvious who these people are. So we just wanted to make Casino Grounds, which is a community for real money streamers.
Huh. Now, I also heard there's a fourth way that people are getting revenue, and that is through Patreon, where people have, and again, this blew my mind, people have patrons who send them money every month to... for them to gamble with?
Yeah, you could set up a Patreon yourself as well and give the people who want to donate something extra for being loyal. I don't use it myself, but anyone can use Patreon.
Huh.
Even you, so you could set up one for Gambling with an Edge. And
yeah,
if people wanted to, they could donate, so you
yeah,
can.
Yeah, I've always resisted that idea, but if we ever lose our sponsors, we might have to go that route. Fortunately, we have good sponsors, and so we don't have to worry about that right now. But
now, I assume...
Yeah, it is a way to also, from your end, reward more loyal viewers, or people who want to pay to get more.
Right, if we had some extra content of some sort, you mean?
That we, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go with you to a trip somewhere and bring down the casinos, for example.
That's a good idea. So I assume, Kim, that if you're playing $100 slots, you're going to get more viewers than if you're playing dollar slots. That people want big money.
Exactly.
Are there, other than being big, are there any other kind of slots that are particularly... your audience likes more than others?
Yeah, high volatile slots.
So high variance they like.
So you
high variance.
You win big or you lose big.
Exactly. Some people really like when I lose big as well, because I get emotional.
Do you cry?
No, but I get a little tilted sometimes, but the money I gamble with on stream. So basically, I want to hold down my own stakes, even if I could afford to play way higher stakes. Because if I play way higher, then my viewers could start playing higher and think it's sustainable for them as well. But I try to keep the bets down so it doesn't hurt my bankroll, unless I go on a super losing streak. But then I sometimes... Drop the bets even more.
So I wanted to ask you now about the U.S. So we do not have online gambling anymore, or at least not legal online gambling anymore, but it's coming back, and we have it now in New Jersey. But I understand that there are streamers from the U.S., one in particular I'm thinking about, that they allow, in the Cosmopolitan, they allow you to film yourself playing live here in Las Vegas. And he streams from the Cosmo, and they allow that? And Can you talk about that at all? Do you know much about that market?
Yeah, we streamed on the Cosmo in October last year. For the G2E, we went to the Cosmopolitan and streamed live from there.
And are you familiar with this U.S. streamer who bets a lot of money and films himself there?
Yeah, there are quite a few. The Big Jackpot is one, and Penny Slots, and there's someone else, Christoph or something.
So they can't make money from casino affiliations, so are they just doing it off the revenue from the stream?
No, I think they're paid by the casinos to come. We didn't get paid, and I lost a lot. But but you're allowed, in the Cosmopolitan, you're allowed to film your own slot machine with a mobile camera.
Huh. So you think the Cosmo may be paying the people doing that?
That would be my guess, yes. Because I know some of them play really high. And the ad revenue on YouTube, I don't think it makes up for it.
Right.
I'm not 100% certain. I know there's some deal structure like that. That the Cosmo pays them X amount to come, which is fair. Yeah, and then they gamble, and whatever they win or lose, it is what they win or lose.
I guess it's like a prop player in poker, where you pay people to sit and play at the poker table with their own money.
Yeah, basically. Or kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. Here you go. Here you have a negative expected value.
Okay, we're going to take a brief break for some commercials.
The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The May promotion of the month is a $500,000 swipe, spin, and win. On Mondays through Thursdays, from May 6th through the end of the month, play 300 points between 3 a.m. and 11:30 p.m. and you spin the virtual wheel. The prizes include free play up to $50, bonus points, $25 resort cards, or food vouchers. After your play, stop by the kiosk, spin the wheel. Free play and bonus points go directly onto your card, and you receive vouchers for food and resort cards that you need to redeem at the club booth. On Memorial Day, Monday, May 27th, there will be a $32,000 hot seat promotion where every 3 minutes between 8 a.m. and midnight, some player receives $100 in free play. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Powerhouse Poker. This is a 10 coins per line game where you get dealt extra hands, sometimes with multipliers, when you are dealt a paying combination. For example, if you're dealt two pair, you may be given 8 additional hands, and 4 of them have multipliers from 2x up to 8x. How many extra hands you get and how big the multipliers are varies from game to game and hand to hand. A dealt royal, for example, only gets one extra hand. The extra hands start from the same position and the same hold as you made. Let's say you're dealt two pair, queens and fives, in a game where it is correct to hold both pair, which is most games. Should you decide to hold only the queens, as many players incorrectly do, the extra hands will all start from holding the pair of queens. The game always returns more than the 5-coin version of the same pay schedule, and no strategic variations are necessary in order to play the game accurately. All right, we're back talking to Kim. Let's give it a spin. So you play slot machines. Do you ever play video poker games while you're streaming?
Yeah, my friend, that's actually how I met you, Richard, the first time. I have one viewer called Max Coins.
He's been
Brian.
On the show, yeah.
Yeah, Brian is a really good guy, and he taught me how to play optimal video poker. I think it's very fun. So every time I've been in Vegas, me and him plays video poker. But I did it on stream, but I don't do it. I did it a few times, but I'm not I make too many small mistakes, and I hate making mistakes.
Well, but you also on your stream play roulette and other things. So even if you make mistakes at video poker, you're giving up less than what you would at roulette.
Oh, yeah. But roulette is proper high volatile.
So are certain video poker games.
Yeah, that's true. You got a fair point. I might start playing some more video poker again.
Would your audience prefer it if you were an expert player or a guy who makes lots of mistakes?
They prefer when I play optimal, like in blackjack, for example. There's some people who want me to stay in odd spots because they have the feeling, but most people want me to play optimal because I also, what I do in, for example, blackjack, a lot of people online makes a lot of mistakes. So I try to educate as well with everything, both slot machines and blackjack and baccarat and other types of three-card poker or other types of game that could be fun.
So at the blackjack table, are you actually talking to the audience about why you're hitting 16 rather than standing on it, or why you're splitting nines instead of something else, and the casinos put up with this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
But that would be at online casinos and not live casinos.
No, live I try to tell the people at the casino as well, but... I feel like they listen more online. They usually use the sheet we have for blackjack.
Can you live stream playing blackjack or three card poker in a live casino?
No. Yeah. Well, we have. In Malta, they allow everything.
Oh, no, yeah.
They allow everything. We're not allowed to count cards, though, or angle shoot somehow.
Where do they allow you to film playing at a table game?
Casino Malta. They allow us to film straight down in the roulette wheel. And table games and anything. Because, well, we lose so much money that they're not really bothered about us filming.
Right. Plus, I guess it's free advertising for them as well, right?
Yeah, they are a great casino. They take very good care of their customers. I've never had as many champagne bottles in Vegas as I've had in one night in Malta.
Sounds like a great song title, One Night in Malta.
One Night in Malta.
My guess is you paid very well for those champagne bottles. Would have been cheaper buying them.
Yes, it would have been way cheaper buying them. But it's good fun because what casinos are realizing, including the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, is that they gain a lot from the social media sharing. So if Cosmopolitan allows you to film a slot machine and you win big, others might go there and try the same slot machine.
Now, do they help you with the payback? Do they tell you these machines are set better than those machines?
In where?
In the Cosmopolitan.
No, no. I usually play. Me and Brian played video poker, $500 per push. Last time I was in Vegas and. I ran it up. Well, we started with 100. I had $400 left, and I was going home to Sweden, and we ran it up to $20,000. And I ran up, got my phone. This was like 7 a.m. in the morning. Went back down, started filming, and lost it all.
Yeah, at $500 a spin,
it doesn't take long.
$20,000 is only 100 credits. So, is that right? 100, 500 is two for, is only 40 credits.
40, uh-huh. 40.
Yeah, well, that doesn't last too long if you run bad.
No, it didn't. But it was good fun. It was a fun night, and I went straight from the gaming floor, basically, to the airport for a 9-hour flight. Basically, I'm hoping for what everyone hopes for in video poker, to if not Delta Royal, to get one sure. Royal or
sure. A $400,000 royal flush is exactly. a lot of people dream about that.
we play spin poker, so the odds aren't that bad. It's nine line spin poker is my favorite version of video poker.
Uh-huh. There it's good to be dealt because you get nine times. Otherwise, it can be a lot. You don't get all nine times. Now.
Oh, yeah.
Some of your video, it appears like you don't care about money at all, and some of it seems like you care a lot. Which do you think is the real you?
Oh, I respect money a lot. Because when you live in the world of gambling, like I have since I was 18, you know easy come, easy go. So I respect money a lot, but I'm quite well off for the stakes I play. So sometimes I just don't bother. I try to, when I go to sleep, I try to forget about the day before, learn from the mistakes I've done, and it's a new day.
Do you think the U.S. is a good market, or do you think that's all still coming, or do you think this market is, or this business model is saturated? Because it seems there are so many streamers now.
No, it's definitely not saturated. Many people that are streaming are not really... They're sometimes broadcasting other people's clips, etc. I don't think it can be saturated in that sense, because you will always feel people who enjoy watching your stream more than someone else's stream. And that's also one of the reasons we have Casino Grounds, because if someone new reaches out to us and says, I don't have very many viewers, but I really love streaming and I really love doing this, could you give me a hand? And we watch his stream and he could be a part of Casino Grounds. Anyone can. And then we help out with hosts and whatever they might need.
Okay, so wait, what is Casino Grounds?
It's a community we built. It's an online casino streaming community.
Okay.
That we built. Well, because there was too many people playing with fake money, so we guarantee that no one who plays for Casino Ground, to the best of our knowledge, is doing anything shady, or they will be kicked out and outed. So we're very strict. We have strict rules.
And is that the website? Is it casinogrounds.com, or what is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So we also do competitions, for example, providers, the ones who makes the slot machines. Novomatic, IGT, or in Sweden, NetEnt, can reach out to us and say, yeah, we would really want you to push this slot machine. And we say, all right, but what will the players get? So they get some extra value for being a part of Casino Grounds.
And how do you build an audience? Let's say you're a brand new streamer. How do you build an audience? How do you make people aware that you're out there?
That can be pretty tricky. What I did was just, all right, press the start streaming button. So you use a program like OBS to start streaming, and then you hope someone notices you, and then you hope they stay, basically. But basically, how do you build an audience with Gambling with an Edge? You hope that someone will notice you and that the word will spread.
Well, when I started, you know, I asked my mom to tell her friend, and then we had two listeners.
Exactly. You tell, yeah, that's a good thing. You tell your friends first, I'm streaming today, and you hope it spreads. Tell mom.
Yeah, Richard and I had somewhat of a following in the gambling world before we started. So we're associated with other sites, and Las Vegas Advisors and a few others said nice things about us. But yeah, we would go on to various, like the Wizard of Odd site, and tell them, yeah, this person is going to be on. Come listen to our show. So we promoted it in the gambling community. But I'm glad the hoping part worked for you.
New streamers can promote it on Casino Grounds as well. so they can promote their channel on our forum.
But your forum is mainly for people in the business of providing content, not fans. Is that correct?
Both fans and for providing content. It's a community.
Okay. Do you get your own affiliate sponsorships, or do you have an agent getting them for you?
I only stream on like two sites. I stream on LeVegas and Frank Fred. And then, basically, if someone clicks through my link, I get a kickback if
Would
they sign up.
Would you do better if you had more affiliates?
Or money-wise, yes.
So why not? I mean,
what otherwise is there?
Well, the thing is, if I send, I consider all my viewers to be my friends. If I sent a viewer to a shitty casino and they would lose their money, it's going to come back at me, and then I sleep better at night by not doing that. So the money part is, and has always been, secondary for me. I'm very happy that I make a good living, but I foremost care about the community.
Well, but there must be more than two good casinos out there.
Oh yeah, there are. We have more on Casino Grounds. We have more casinos listed on Casino Grounds. But I mainly play two, because what I want to know as well, if they come with a question saying, all right, but can I play this game on this casino? I want to be able to know that question with 100% certainty. Huh. But yeah, there are quite a few good casinos out there. But there are also a lot of shady ones that you should stay away from.
Oh yeah.
The only thing to take. Yeah.
I used to play a lot of online casinos, so now and actually I should say, like, you know, you could turn around and ask Bob and I the same question: why do we only have two sponsors? But in our case, it's laziness, because we're not out there trying to.
Yeah, I guess it's some laziness for me as well. But we set up kind of quite big promotions when there's a new slot machine called Dead or Alive 2. Which has potential to pay 111,000 times your stake. So we set up a giveaway, so we get more players to the casinos we stream, and they give our viewers a lot of things. So that's why I stay more loyal to the casinos. But yeah, money wise, it would be way better for me to just have 100 different casinos. Especially the shady ones, because they pay more. They have a better hold.
Yeah. Is this your entire livelihood, or do you also have something that we would call a real job?
Well, when I don't stream, I work around Casino Ground. So basically, I can help the small streamers out and reply to PMs that comes from the viewers and help them out with questions, and then come up with things we can do in the stream. So I work around Casino Grounds when I don't stream, and around my stream.
So it sounds like you volunteer around Casino Grounds. Is it?
Well,
I get
paid for that as well, and I'm a share owner.
Uh-huh.
But I do more than I have to, because, well, I think it's fun. I love it.
It's a good reason to do more. So if our listeners wanted to see you on YouTube, how would they find you? Would they look up Kim? What would they look up?
Let's Give It a Spin.
It's a good name. It's a good name.
In one word. Let's Give It a Spin. It's all in one word. I was thinking about fun names I could have when I started streaming, and yeah, Let's Give It a Spin stuck there.
And no apostrophe in the let's, I guess.
And do you have a website other than CasinoGrounds.com?
No, I have LetsGiveItASpin.com as well. But CasinoGrounds.com is the main website.
Okay, and are there other places where people can connect with you? Are you on Twitter, Facebook, those things?
Oh, yeah, Twitter, Facebook, everything. Let's Give It a Spin.
Okay.
So you can send me a PM if you want to ask some questions, or just tune into the stream. Ask whatever you like.
Very good.
While we've been talking, I've been giving thought to this bonus content. If we set up a Patreon page for Gambling with an Edge, And for our Patreon, you know, fans, I was thinking Bob and I could do the show topless. Do you think that would bring in extra income?
I think you'd be very rich.
People might very pay rich. Us not to do that.
No, wow. But jokes aside, I'm impressed. That's why I wanted to come on this interview. I'm very impressed of you guys. You are in the Hall of Fame of blackjack. I use a lot that Wizard of Odds, for example, has created. So I'm very impressed of what you guys do. You find casinos and beat them at their own game.
Well, that's the goal.
Well, might not work out, but you have a positive expected value.
That's
a
yes.
Good term.
Yes.
Yes. At least we think we do. Before we let you go, Kim, are there any other things you wanted to tell our listeners?
Well, if you're considering doing this stream, especially when the U.S. market opens up, do it real. Play with your real money. Be prepared for the losses. And yeah, keep it real. I think U.S. is going to be very interesting when they open up more online casinos.
Very good. Thank you. We're going to let you go, Kim. And Richard and I are going to dip into our mailbag to answer a few listener questions. If you wanted to stick around and listen to those questions, you can. Kim, otherwise, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you. Amazing. I'm happy to be here and hope we talk soon again.
Very good. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay, so we have one question. We have lots of questions sent in to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. We try to get to them as we can. Today's is for Richard. It said, on an older Gambling with an Edge show, you said you would advise against your son going the blackjack route because a clean name is worth a lot. Does that hold for an inspiring blackjack AP with no network? Richard didn't know what I was going to ask him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, that is a tough question. I mean, there's something to be said for just going out and burning down the house. And I mean, we've had quite a number of card counters on in the last year that have been extremely successful. You know, some making seven figures, some making mid six figures, just by hitting the road, putting it in their face, you know, betting it up, and when you get thrown out, play until you get thrown out and moving on down the road. If that sounds like a lifestyle that you are interested in, then by all means. If this is something that you want to do long term, then building a network is essential. And if you think you have the ability to get into the community and build a network, then I would say keep the clean name. So, yeah, it's a tough one. But yeah, and it's funny because my son periodically comes back to me and says, I don't know, I think maybe I should just hit the road and burn the house down. But he does have a network, and other people in that network are saying, don't do it, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough one. I think it depends on the individual. But once you do it, you can't really go back.
Yes. Yeah, your son has you in his network and all of your network in his network. So that is an enviable network to have. Another question we got, this one was for me. Will casinos 86 you for selling comps? I'm trying to find a way for bonus poker 99.17 game to make it profitable with only about 0.13 in comps and 0.13 in free play, and also some holiday points. So he's coming to Vegas on a business trip, and he has a lot of clients, and they would certainly like to use go to the shows and rooms and those kind of things. So he wants to know, in my experience, if you're discreet about it and they don't know about it, everything is fine. If you're blatant about it, they will take some action. The casinos do not consider comps yours to sell. They consider that something to get you to gamble more, to keep you in the casino and happy and gambling more. If you're selling them for comps, they don't like that. That said, back when 18 years ago, when my wife and I were each playing $1 million coined in a month at the MGM because they were giving away the store, and their slot marketing department was arithmetically challenged. We did that a lot. We sold tickets to fights. We got rooms for people. We sold show tickets. Certainly, meals and special events. So yes, we did it. However, we did not tell the casino we were doing it. And we did not advertise that we were doing it. A friend of mine got carried away with this and would do like too many people show up at the same time. And so he needed extra rooms from other players, and a lot of us go, no, we don't really want any part of that network because we think they're going to get on to you next, and if we're associated with it, we're going to get taken down too. So so be subtle and be careful with it. Do you have anything to add to that, Richard, before we go on?
No, I know people who – I know some people who were caught selling fight tickets, but they didn't get barred. You know, if the casino really believes you're a losing player, they don't want to lose you. So, but I agree with you. Be subtle about it. I don't know that you're going to actually get into positive territory playing, that game and just selling rooms and show tickets, but yeah, I agree. Just be subtle about it. And, oh, and I would also say it is a big hassle to sell rooms. You know, basically you have to go check the people in, and somebody's got to have a credit card on there, and it's much easier to sell tickets. But, yeah.
Yeah, but if it's a 3 or 4 day stay for which you're getting $500 because they're premium rooms, it's worth a trip down to the casino to hook up with them. So, all right, here's a question for Richard. How much time does surveillance need to spot a card counter and count them down and confirm? Assume it's the first time a counter entered the casino and he's not flyered in or otherwise in the database.
Well, it's going to depend on the casino. You know, I've heard of casinos that want 3 shoes counted before they would decide that someone is really a counter. But other places, you know, 1 double deck is enough to get you barred. So it just depends on the casino.
Okay. How much are you cutting down your hourly if you leave before the shoe is over on a high count?
Well, it depends on how much of the shoe is left and how much you're betting. But why would – I don't understand why you would want to do that. If your idea is to do that for cover, I think that's crazy. you know, I mean, wait till the shoe's over. I mean, yeah, that just seems crazy to me. And why try to quantify it? It's focused on the wrong thing.
And a final question for the same listener is, being a Russian girl less suspicious than being an American girl?
God, yes. Being on any foreign passport is great. Yeah. So, yes, having a foreign passport, having an accent, being a woman, those are all pluses. Although, depending on how much money you're going to bet, sometimes it's more difficult for women to bet a lot of money, unless they're Chinese. But, yeah, certainly a Russian passport would be a big plus.
If you have the skills to do an Italian or Irish or some other kind of noticeable accent and can keep it up for the entire time you're there, is that a good idea?
I think it is. I think, you know, we have innate prejudices, and for some reason, you know, people in casinos tend to think less of people from foreign countries. Now, the problem is, if they're watching you from surveillance, they don't hear you talking, so they don't know. But the pit boss might be less likely to call surveillance because of that accent. I actually had a friend many, many years ago who would stutter, intentionally stutter, and pit bosses just discounted him completely. It was this, as if they thought that if he stuttered, he must be stupid or something. So any way of taking the prejudices of the bosses, any way you can take advantage of those prejudices is a good thing.
At the risk of appearing flippant, if you can make yourself appear to be black, that would be good. It's not meant as, although people have gotten in trouble for talking about blackface, the idea that if you can successfully convince a casino that you are, as a general rule, there are many people with the prejudice that black people are not as smart or competent as white people.
Yes, you will get away with more if you are African American, or anything other than a white male. But a white male with an accent and a foreign passport is going to get away with more than one who doesn't have those things.
All right. Somebody else sent us a list of blackjack rules, but it starts with 50% single deck penetration, 50% 6-5 blackjacks, and then some favorable things. And so it's very countable, and he has done there well 3 out of 4 times. So he wants to know if, even though Casino Verite says it's not a good game, the fact that he's won there 3 out of 4 times, would that overrule Casino Verite in your mind?
Well, wait, something doesn't make sense there, because if it's single deck dealt 50% and it pays 6-5, and is that correct?
Yeah, and so it starts off with a well over 1% disadvantage.
Yeah, but if your bet spread is big enough, you can overcome that pretty easily. So I don't understand why Casino Verite would say that it's a bad game. I think the internet would tell you it's a bad game. There are these people who say never play 6-5, but that's short-sighted. I mean, if you spread big enough, you can beat that game really easily. So anyway, your results have no bearing on this. Winning 3 out of 4 sessions means absolutely nothing. So if you're using Casino Verite correctly, and you're putting in the bet spread correctly, and Casino Verite says that you're still playing at a disadvantage, then you're still playing at a disadvantage. Your results have nothing to do with whether you should play or not.
Okay. Another question from a listener wants to know if we can describe how to bet. He's a blackjack player. Assuming he can count, he wants to know when you bet. How do you deal with a house edge when waiting for a positive count? How positive does the count have to be? Please explain the whole process once the counter sits down. How many shoes do you have to wait for a positive count on average?
Wow. Well, you need to read some books, you know, for, and I would say some beginning books. And the beginning books that I recommend are Black Belt and Blackjack. Blackjack Blueprint, I think, is very good. But there are many different approaches. So, you know, you can back count and not play any negative situations and just wait until you have an edge. And, you know, and then make your bets. But, you know, that's basically, you need a basic primer, you know, on card counting. And this is not the place for that.
Very good. Another listener wants us to discuss hole carding and recommend any good books on the subject.
Okay, so there are no books that are going to teach you how to see the card, which seems to be what everybody wants. But there are no books that are going to teach you that. There are some books that will tell you what to do once you have the, once you see the card. The best one being Exhibit CAA. But there are some charts, even at Wizard of Odds and at Norm Wattenberger's book, which I believe is still free. The volume one is still free. He has some charts. And I think you can find that online. I can't think of the name of his book right now, but one of Ken Houston's books had a chart. So there are books where it'll tell you what to do once you have the information. But I think what you're looking for is not available.
So hole carding is basically seeing some part of the card enough to give you information.
Yes. And sometimes it's only partial information. So you don't know exactly what the card is. You might know the card is a 4 through 10. And then there's a chart for that. And, you know, Exhibit AAA would have that.
Or might be a picture card. You just don't know which one.
Right.
Although blackjack, that wouldn't matter. All picture cards are the same in blackjack.
Right. Blackjack, it wouldn't matter. But in a game like three-card poker, it would matter.
And Exhibit CAA is by James Grossjean. It has a $250 list price. And if you write to James asking for a copy, he will ignore your email.
Well, it was sold out years ago, and he never reprinted it. So.
And some copies exist on eBay occasionally for $5,000 or so. If somebody were seriously going into APing, would paying $5,000 for that book be money well spent in your mind, Richard?
You know, I have a friend who paid $3,000 for it, and he thought it was worth every penny. So the problem is I think 95% of the people who read the book do not see the value in it because they really don't understand how to use it. They don't understand what is in there. So I would say for the vast majority of people, it would not be worth it.
Uh-huh.
And I will also add this. I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with somebody where they had an idea. And they said, you know, what if you had this situation and you knew this about this particular game? And I said, yeah, there's a chart in CAA that'll answer that question for you. I've had numerous conversations like that. And I've actually had numerous conversations where I said the same thing to James. And he said, oh, it's on page you know, 327 or whatever. And I hadn't realized it was in there.
But there are lots of charts in there. Nobody
yes.
can.
Yeah.
Nobody can possibly memorize them all. So if you come across a situation, you then have to go to where the book is and read up on it, and then come back and hope the situation is still there.
Well, yeah, yeah, but that's always gonna. I mean, you know, prior to the book, you would have to, you know, hire somebody to do the work for you, which would take even longer.
Very good. Okay. Another listener wants to know where to find the best place to find casino reviews for a blackjack AP.
Casino reviews?
Presumably that's something like Stanford Wong's current Blackjack News. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. What is... Yeah. I mean, that is a newsletter that has, it's sort of like VP free for blackjack, but it doesn't include any of the 6 to 5 games. I think there are a couple of communities where you can get information. One is BJ21, although I haven't been on there in years, and I hear is there's not a lot going on at that forum. There's also blackjacktheforum.com. And then, it seems like there's a lot of, people on the Blackjack Discord. So there's a Blackjack Discord channel, started by Rymo, who's been on the show a few times, and you might be able to get information on there, about. So people might say, hey, I'm going to Iowa, you know, where should I go, or what should I avoid, or what can I expect? And usually people will answer your questions.
Another great site for that is Casino BlackjackApprenticeship.com.
Oh, yeah.
Where Colin Jones has been on, and some of his people have been on the show a number of times. And that's exactly the kind of thing that they address in their forum. The Wizard of Vegas, which is part of the Wizard of Odds community, has a forum that talks about basically all things gambling. So there is a section there for blackjack information. And so if you post a question there, you can frequently somebody will address it. As with any forum, there will always be people who are quick to give bad advice, and they make up for their lack of knowledge by high volume of advice giving. And there will be others who want to get the threads always directed towards whether or not smoking should be allowed in casinos. There will be other threads on different kinds of subjects. But there is a lot. If you stay with it for a while, you'll begin to understand which of the posters are knowledgeable and which ones are full of hot air. And learning the difference is key. There are lots of gurus out there, or wannabe gurus out there. Finding one who's pretty sharp is a key part of being successful at gambling. All right. Speaking to, for me and my fellow guru, we want to thank you very much for listening today. Kim, Let's Give It a Spin was the main part of our show. And thank you, Richard, for dealing with these questions. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.